It's great to be with you again today, and yesterday was a special edition of God Is, and so today I want to return to our discussion on the justice of God. God is just. This is the teaching of both the Old and New Testaments in the Bible, and thus far, by way of summary, here's what I have said. First, the justice of God has come up in relation to the righteousness of God. This is the righteousness of God that we read about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "But the righteous man shall live by faith." Now that is our text. Using the camping analogy, Romans 1:17 is base camp. But from there, we've gone hiking all over the Bible, and we do so because righteousness and justice are inseparable words in the Bible. As we have already learned, they have to be taken together. First, the justice of God has come up in relation to the righteousness of God. And second, the words righteous and justice form the same group of words in the Bible. Talk about righteousness, and we must talk about justice, and vice versa. A third, the Word of God teaches us our theology, or the theology comes out of God's Word to us. That is, once I do my Word study, then I have to ask, what does this teach me about who God is? And working at this with you last week, I defined God's justice as God always doing what is right. God's justice is God always doing what is right. And notice that in defining justice, I use the word right. Justice and righteousness go together. They are inseparable. And then, as we began talking about the justice of God, I showed you from the scripture how God uses his justice in our lives, and I also addressed those of you facing or having faced injustices in your own life. I did that from the Bible, and then from there I told you that there are two main questions that we must deal with when we talk about the justice of God. Do you remember these? Let me remind you. First, if God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? And second, if God is just, then why do his people, Christians, suffer? These are fair questions. To ignore them or to dismiss them would be an unhuman response, because most people at one point or another want to have an answer. Now, I have previously warned us against demanding that God give an account to us for doing whatever he wants to do. God is God and we are not. Nevertheless, we pose these questions respectfully to the Lord. That is, we seek the wisdom of God in the pages of the Word of God to see if he gives us any hint as to why he is just, despite the wicked seeming to prosper, and despite the suffering that his people have to endure. I began to answer the first question on Friday. The question is, if God is just, then why do people seem to prosper? And here's what I said. God sometimes punishes the wicked quickly, obviously and openly. The wicked do not always prosper. Definitely not. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 9 and verse 16. This is Psalm 9 and verse 16. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. In the work of his own hands, the wicked is snared. And of course, I added more than this, so should you have missed it or want a refresher, just download the God Is podcast free of charge from the WEZ website and give a listen to last week's teaching. Now, with all of that as background and an introduction, let's look at some other reasons why the wicked seem to prosper in this world in which you and I live. How can God be just if he allows for this? And my second answer that I humbly submit to you is an answer that is found in Jesus' death on the cross. It's this: God can allow for evil in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. God can allow for evil in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. Now, stick with me here. I'll put some of what follows in the form of a question and answer. So, question: why did Jesus die on a cruel and torturous instrument of death, that is, the cross? Answer: he died to pay the penalty of death for sin. Whose sins? Answer: the sins of every person who believes in Jesus Christ by faith. Now let me ask another question about the people who killed Jesus on the cross. Were they evil? Was murdering the Son of God a wicked act? Answer: yes. Listen to the opening of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2 and verses 22 to 23. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 23. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders, and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Did you catch the way Peter describes the men who killed Jesus? He said they were godless men. That is, they were wicked, evil men. In fact, no greater murder has ever been committed. It was a heinous act, the sinless. Jesus never sinned. And innocent God-man was nailed to the cross by wicked and evil men. And so that brings us to this penetrating question. Why did God the Father allow the death of Jesus Christ the Son? Answer, God can allow for evil in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. And what was God's purpose in Christ's death? The answer, that God's wrath, his angry, justified judgment for sin, be appeased in Jesus instead of being appeased in us. The wages of sin is death. Sinners have to be punished for their sin, and that punishment comes through death, except that God sent Jesus to die for sinners. God sent Jesus to die in the place of all who will believe in him by faith. God sent Jesus as our substitute. Again, I quote 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you see, in the cross, we have the greatest example ever of God allowing evil in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. Wickedness was unleashed on Jesus that day. God the Father took no action to stop it, and Jesus died, dead as dead can be. Well, for 3 days anyway. And then, what did God do? He triumphed magnificently over death. God the Father brought Jesus the Son back to life. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The purposes of God did not end through the death of Jesus on the cross. The purposes of God continued through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This is amazing. And guess what? The purposes of God still triumph. God can allow evil in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. However, God is not the initiator of evil. Nothing evil comes from God. God is good. God is good all the time. And so who initiates evil? Satan does. We've talked about this quite a lot on God Is. But while Satan launches evil on the world, God commandeers it so that his purposes prevail. And that's exactly what we find in the life and death and life again of Jesus. In a passage that can easily be missed in the New Testament book of Colossians, in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes something to the believers at Colossae that we must read in connection with Christ's death on the cross. I'm reading now in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul writes, "When God had disarmed the rulers and authorities, God made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Jesus." I love this verse. So let me read it again. "When God had disarmed the rulers and authorities, God made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Jesus." That's Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. The verses that surround it are great too. The cross was a triumph for God and a complete loss for Satan and his demons. God won and Satan lost. Whereas originally it looked like Satan had won and God had lost. But all that happened on the cross was actually that God had temporarily allowed for evil in order that the purposes of God would last for all eternity. The image here is of a Roman military leader parading victoriously through the streets of Rome with his enemy, humiliated through a great defeat, in tow, captured by the victorious Roman. Back to Colossians 2, God disarmed the rulers and authorities. God made a public display of them. God humiliated them as God triumphed over them through Christ. How awesome is this? Amazing. Well, this is exactly what God continues to do with the wicked. If God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? Our answer is that God can allow for evil in order to accomplish his purposes in his world. Now, you might be a Christian who is thinking critically and want to ask, well, God did that in the life of Christ, but can God do that in my life? Maybe you are a believer who has struggled with the justice of God because you have endured an injustice in your life. Some of you have had an injustice carried out against you your whole life, or you have suffered or are suffering right now in some way. Well, the answer is definitely that God can and God will do this in your life. He will allow wickedness so that his purposes will be accomplished in our lives. Be with me in the days that follow, and I will say much more about this when I answer our second question, that is, how can God allow the Christian to suffer if God is just? We're talking about the justice of God. God is just. And in light of this, we have a question. If God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? The first answer we find in Scripture is that the wicked people do not always prosper. The second answer we find in Scripture is that God can allow for evil in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. We see this most glowingly in the cross of Christ, and that is not the only example. The Bible gives us many other examples, but God the Father allowing for the death of his Son is certainly the clearest. And when you come back tomorrow, I will continue to answer this question before us. So join me tomorrow, for God is...